Well, we once again have a youth worship online. And perhaps this idea of calling it online is a little bit more correct than to say, speak of a direct broadcast. And I think that an explanation is due. And part of it has to do with taking up the time of the AVA team. If we do a direct broadcast, they will have to stay behind after a wedding for a few more hours. So what we're going to have to do is to record all these things a little bit ahead of time, but it will be broadcast online on time, as expected, every Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. But this is actually pre-recorded, but it does not mean that it is any less significant. So once again, a really heartfelt word of thanks to our faithful AVA team, and they have set for us an example of how to love the Lord, how to serve Him amidst all the challenges that we are facing together as a nation. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for every opportunity to worship You. And we just want to feel very, very much drawn and called to worship You. We pray that You will help us to have a heart's desire to offer You worship every opportunity that we can have. We pray that You will help us to look at how we can develop our faith, sustain it, and to fight against whatever unbelief that may be in our hearts. We pray that You will help us to understand this problem of unbelief and to find answers to this problem. We pray for Your grace to be given to us as we read Your word today. May our hearts be further enlightened. May we be further challenged to battle this problem of unbelief. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're going to take a look at Genesis 17 again. And we talked about what it means for God to call upon Abram, or now Abraham, to look at the idea of what it means to walk before the Lord. I think that is an absolutely wonderful thing. And as we take a look at this walk with God, we begin to realize seriously, I think we all struggle in our walk with God if we are honest with ourselves. And we should not see this as something unexpected. Well, God knows we struggle. We struggle because we are weak. We struggle because, frankly, because we are human beings. And because of that, we have got great challenges. Struggling with faith in God, walking with God, is a very, very human problem. But thank God, we don't have to give in to unbelief. We don't have to allow weakness to get us down and then we are defeated. We don't have to. Well, there are many things that we can look back on, and I want to encourage you to always look back. Now, we have been looking at the book of Genesis since we began. And this book, I hope, will come alive to you and will be a source of encouragement, instruction, and inspiration to you. Right? So as we look at Abraham's life, we begin to realize how God has been helping him to build up his faith. So he added many things in his life. One, obviously, Genesis 12, God instructs him, come out from wherever you are, right? From Ur of Chaldee to Haran. Okay, now let's look at all these things that are there. And that's absolutely wonderful. All right? So we take a look at how God encouraged Abraham in a time when he was in Egypt and he was feeling threatened, he was fearful, he tried to lie his way out. And God was just teaching him, you don't have to do that. And there is God's protection. And that is absolutely wonderful. But then we see how God provided. Genesis 13, how Abraham became a person who was wealthy in terms of flocks and herds and whatever else you would want to consider as wealth in those days. There was God encouraging Abraham to trust him. See, God does provide for us, except we just don't realize how much he has blessed us and provided for us. Then there is that famous battle recorded in Genesis 14. Can you imagine how Abraham would have been able to conquer all his enemies just like that? That's impossible. He had only had a task force of 318. How do you defeat a coalition of kings? Unless God is there with him. And then, of course, there is God's special revelation recorded in Genesis 15. There was a vision. The Lord spoke to him. And fire appeared. And everything else is there. All these things are aids to our faith, to Abraham's faith, to our faith as well as we study the scriptures. Right? Now, despite all these things, we imagine if we are given all these things, we would be much stronger. But the reality of it all is that we still struggle. Right? And God is not discouraged. So don't be. So even if we have to struggle quite a bit, and we struggle with health, we struggle with our studies, we struggle with our family members, we struggle with our friends, we struggle about the fear of the future, we will struggle. Now, watch this very carefully. God wants to encourage us always to, as it were, have a new beginning. Write a new chapter. And this was exactly what God was trying to say to Abram at this time. And so it was as if God is giving to him almost a new chapter to write. And so God said to him, all right, let's look at Genesis 17 here. And this is something that you want to appreciate, right? So let's take a look at what the Lord said and after he gave to him a covenant. And this is a wonderful thing to take note of. So the Lord promises covenant. The Lord promised all the things that is there. And then the Lord said to him, right, I am going to give you, as it were, a new name. And that is absolutely wonderful, right? So take a look at these things here. And this is like a new beginning. And it's absolutely wonderful to appreciate, right? Look at verse 5. Now, nothing wrong with calling a person Abram. I think we all are used. We all like to shorten people's name. You know, we all have different ways in which our parents shorten our names, our friends shorten our name, we shorten our own names. Now, here is the reverse. Now, God is going to lengthen his name. Well, the point of it all is not shortening or lengthening the name. The point of it all is to God was trying to say to him, to encourage him, you know, have a new name. I think I was very struck by this some years ago. And I used to go to prison to help people with understanding faith in God. And one day I met a prisoner, and this prisoner said to me, my name is August. Now, he was not a very well-educated person. So I said to him, you mean Augustus, and you shorten it to August. He said, no, No, my name is August. So I said to him, why do you call yourself August? It's a month of the year. And he said to me, you know, I have been in prison many years. I did many bad things in my life, and I have to pay back to society for all the wrong that I have done. It was in prison that I came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and God has graciously forgiven me of all my sins. And it was in the month of August that I came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And from here onwards, I will now call myself August, and I want people to call me August, because it will always help me to remember that in the month of August, I became a Christian, and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we have a wonderful word here in Genesis 17. Let's take a look, right? And God said to him, as for you, he said, no longer shall your name be called Abram, verse 5, but your name shall be called Abraham. Now, you just wonder, so what is so big about that? What is the significance? Well, it's not so much the name change that is a significant alone, but the meaning of it all. This is God's way of helping him to, you know, become a little stronger, write a stronger new chapter, and with greater faith. Walk before me, I'm going to give you a covenant, and to mark this covenant, your name is now going to be called Abraham. I think all our parents have sort of chosen the best names ever to give to us. Right? Yeah, this is important. It's something that we all perhaps don't appreciate as much. But it is actually true to say that everybody would like to have a good name, a name you can live up to, a name that would be significant, and that is how that works. So when Abram's father, Terah, called him and said, one day you will be a high father, meaning to say you will be an honored father, so your name will be called Abram. That's the idea. Well, you know what? That didn't come to pass, because Abram was married for many years and he was not a father. So the idea of a name, High Father, it has limited honor, and it was not fulfilled. Now, it is a very, very special privilege for God to give to Abraham this name. Now, not everyone is going to be called, to be given a name as such, right? But God, from time to time, would give names. For example, God called Abraham, that's one. Right? Solomon was a very special son, and God called him Jedediah, an affectionate term. Well, John the Baptizer was called John. The Lord Jesus Christ was called Jesus, and his name means Savior. So there were a few people whose names were given by the Lord or by an angel who represented the Lord. So Abraham is a very special name. See, the Jews have this idea of how names are symbolic and how names portend the idea of fulfillment. And this was what God was saying to him. Abraham, we are going to have a new chapter in your life. You are going to not just be a high father, but a father of many nations. So the word Av literally means father. I'm is the idea of many peoples. So you will have become a father of many, many nations, many peoples, as it were. Now that is great honor, and it is an expansion of honor. And this shows to us how God was trying to encourage Abraham to build a greater faith, to walk before him more definitely, more consistently. And that is absolutely wonderful. Well, this privilege was not just given to Abraham. It was also given to Sarah. Right? In verse 15, we read, "Then God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife.'" Now, Sarai is the name of a deity, in Babylon, actually. So when you call her Sarai, actually is the name of a goddess in Babylon. And that is a reflection of the past. So God is saying to Abraham and to Sarah, you don't go that way anymore, all right? Wants you now to look at her new name, and her new name is going to be called Sarah, and that name simply means princess. Well, that is a beautiful name to take a look at it. Well, this was God's way of saying to Abraham what he would do, right? Now, I've given you instruction. I've given you protection. I have promised you a new covenant. Now, I'm going to give you a new name. And to match that new name, your wife, Sarai, will now be called Sarah. Now, that is a new chapter that both of you can write together. And one will be called Father of Many Nations, and your wife will be called a princess, to show dignity, to show that she was not an ordinary person, but she deserves the title princess. Now, that is not an easy thing to come by, but that is what God meant to give to Abraham. She would become, as it were, a royal person. She would literally be like that of a princess. That is high honor indeed. Now, you just imagine the impact that could have on Abraham and on Sarah. And further, the Lord said all these things here. Now, in verse 16, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 parts of a blessing was stated by the Lord. One, I will bless her. Now, that is wonderful. That should have been enough. But no, God further explained. And also give you a son by her, Sarah. That's the second part of it. Then we read, then I will bless her. Wow. As if the first blessing is not enough, the idea is that there will be an added blessing. Right? First, I will bless her generally. Now, that's the idea of how God will give to her a name called Sarah. With a name comes a blessing. Right? Now, that's the second part of it. And with this new chapter, she will become a mother and she will have a son. Right? So on top of this, then I will bless her. It's as if there is a second blessing that is there. What is that second blessing? She shall be a mother of many nations. She will match your name, Abraham. Right? So this is something that you want to appreciate. She will match you in the same way in which you are honored as a father of many nations. She will be honored as a mother of many nations. Now, that is high honor indeed. And, of course, the last part, the fifth part was, kings of people shall be from her. In other words, from the birth of the son, descendants will come, the blessings will be there, and you can trace it all back to this one blessing that I am giving to you, Abraham and Sarah. Now, we began this message by talking about a problem of unbelief. And unbelief, it's a kind of really difficult thing to combat, to conquer. But we must. And God has been doing everything that you would imagine that was needed for Abraham to fight this problem of unbelief. And it is a very big problem. And if we are honest with ourselves, we also struggle with unbelief. Now, watch this very carefully. In chapter 17, okay? And we read in verse 17, and we see this statement here. Now, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Okay? Now, this is something that we need to sort of ask ourselves. What happened here? Right? So, candidly, the writer talked about how Abraham responded. Now, watch this very carefully. In chapter 17, the earlier part of it, right? 17, let's read this again. He was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me, be blameless. I will make my covenant between me and you. I will multiply you exceedingly. And then in verse 3, Abram fell on his face. We see the phrase there. Now, that fell on his face is not that he fell down. Literally, is he prostrated himself. Right? Now, this is an interesting and important phrase to take note of very carefully. Because now we have another expression that is the same here, except it is a little bit different. Watch. 17 here. Then Abraham fell on his face, same, and laughed. Now, how do we understand this? Can you see this? So over here, 17, verse 3, Abram fell on his face. Abram, old name, still struggling with his life, still struggling with his faith. He fell on his face in humility. He prostrated himself as he should have. And God talked with him. Now, in 17:17, he fell on his face. Now, we have a few options. Is he prone to falling down? I don't think so. Did he now prostrate himself in the same way? Probably not. Because we see the word, and he fell on his face and he laughed. Right? Now, and then we read, and he said in his heart. Now, he didn't say it out loud. Right? He said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Now, what does that tell you? Unbelief. That is a problem. Now, sometimes unbelief is not necessarily totally bad. Now, we want to watch a little bit of this. Okay? Now, first, the falling on the face part of it, like the previous one, it is humility. You know, God has said something wonderful. You will become a father. I mean, you are sort of, God is speaking something, and that is gratitude. And then you sort of try and take it in. And then you ask, I'm 100 years old. My wife is 90 years old. And you are talking about giving, becoming a father and a mother and at this age. And you can understand the struggle that he had. Right? Can you see this problem of unbelief? Unbelief is not always an outward rejection. It's not as if you are disputing God. You're just saying, Lord, I cannot understand this. This is just incredulous. It just seems so absolutely impossible. How is this going to work out? How can it be true? Well, that is a problem. All right? You see, unbelief involves a little bit of human reason. And this is how we tend to reason. God has given to us the faculty of reasoning. He's given us a brain. He's given us a mind. And we can figure it out. Right? Now, I don't think he was a medical doctor, went to medical school. But you don't need to be a medical doctor, go to medical school to realize that a person 100 years old and a wife 90 years old, they are going to have children. That's not something that we can understand. And Abraham expressed this, right? She didn't quite say it, right? Remember, it's in his heart. You see, that's a problem with unbelief. If he didn't say to God, you know, God, I find it very hard to believe. God, I am struggling with unbelief. God, I am, you know, I'm really, really struggling. I want to believe, but, you know, I am struggling. He didn't say that, but it's in his heart. So what did he actually say to God? And he said to God, he made a suggestion to God. Okay, I hear you. You want to make me a father of many nations, thank you. Sarah will become a mother of many nations, thank you very much. And then he made a suggestion. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. In other words, okay, I hear you. Are we talking about Ishmael? Can Ishmael live before you? Then it's fulfilled, right? I will become a father. Yeah, he is my son. Through him, many nations will come. How does that work? And the answer was no, obviously, because Ishmael's existence was a mistake that Abram then and Sarai made. And God was not going to build on that. He was going to do something different. That is why he opened up a new chapter for Abraham to consider with Sarah. And God's reply to him was very, very clear. Absolutely. And his word was one word answer, no. You see how God wants to deal with us with unbelief? Don't entertain unbelief. Deal with it. Don't just keep it in the heart as Abraham did. And you know, until we are ready to deal with it, it's just going to be there. But God is going to help Abraham deal with his deeper problem. And that problem is, you know, he's just thinking of ways and means. Abraham, no. I have given you a new name. Sarah is the new name of your wife. You're going to have a new chapter. You are going to be a father and mother of many nations. And it is not going to be through Ishmael. I've already said this to you. I've said this again. I'm going to say one more time. No. Right? Can you see this? Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. In fact, you shall call him Isaac. This is a very symbolic name. Why Isaac? Abraham, you laughed. Your son's name will be called Laughter. Isaac. Oops. God knows what we are dealing with, what we are struggling with, and He wants to help us. And so He says it again, instructs again. You know, one of the amazing things we read Genesis is how many times God will repeat a statement, a teaching, a word. He will repeat it again and again and again and again. It's like going to remedial class, right? So He didn't understand. Okay, let me explain this to you. And another occasion, He will explain this to you. So if you read chapter 12, 13, right? And then you look at 15, 16, 17, you count the number of times God has repeated Himself to Abraham. You will be amazed. But God shows us how patient He is. So He says it one more time. I will establish my covenant. Okay? One with you. It will be an everlasting covenant. It will be through you and Sarah. In fact, I will tell you ahead of time, you are going to call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his descendants after him. Well, that was what God promised. You see, so this is God's response. And he wants to help us. Bottom line, he knows we are struggling. There are many unanswered questions in our head. And there are many things that Abraham was feeling in his heart. Right? Because one, Hagar was his wife, second wife. Right? Although she was maid to Sarah. The fact is that she became a mother of his son. And he knows that Sarah doesn't like Hagar and doesn't like her son either. And he knew all that. And so he had to suggest to God, how about blessing Ishmael? Basically, that was what he was saying. God knew Abraham's concern. God heard more than his words. And so he said to Abraham, don't worry. Okay? As far as Ishmael, I have heard you and I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful. I will multiply him exceedingly. He will beget 12 princes. And I will make him a great nation. Well, can you ask more than that, Abraham? All these things you did not say, but I know what is in your heart. After all, he is God Almighty. Of course he knows what is in the heart and in the mind of Abraham. And I know that you are concerned for him. Well, listen, I will bless him also. I will multiply him. I will help him. And he will become a father of 12 princes. He will also become a great nation. But Abraham, listen to what I said. Right? I am going to give you a covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. This is my word promised to you, and it will come to pass. It will be through you and Sarah. This is the covenant that I will establish with Isaac. 17:21. And Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. Right? It will be a son. Now, I think we all understand that the challenges that are there. There are struggles, no question about that. And even though we have a greater knowledge of God, we have a greater knowledge of God through studying His Word, we have a greater understanding as we read the Scriptures, the problem is that we often don't have a deeper comprehension. We don't have a deeper understanding. And we need to go into that. You see, Abraham, even though there is a significant name change, was still Abram of old. He was still struggling with his man-made ideas, with his projections, with his concern, with everything else that was there, understandably. And this is where God wants us to learn how to go beyond our limited human understanding to look at how God can provide for us and fulfill his word to us. The challenge of unbelief will go on, as you will see later on as we read the other chapters. Now, here is Abraham, and God has to deal with the problem of unbelief. Now, it is not a straightforward thing. Now, we read in chapter 15 that God, because Abraham believed, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Is that a fact? Yes. Did God honor his faith? Yes. But was that all his faith was capable of? No. So while there is a basic faith, that problem is that that basic faith is affected in part by unbelief. And this unbelief problem must be dealt with, or it will remain, it can affect adversely, and it will one day do him in. This is why God has to help in many ways. You see, to get to the point of faith where it is accounted to us for righteousness is a wonderful thing. But remember, it is only one chapter. God wants us to write another chapter that is a little bit more based upon walking before God blamelessly, based upon a greater trust in God, a greater faith in God, a faith that anticipates how God will fulfill all that he has said and promised. Now, that would be a wonderful thing to consider. And I think we all struggle, like Abraham of old, with unbelief. When our studies are very hard, we wonder whether we will ever pass, whether we will ever make it. And after God has helped us to make it, to pass our exams, we come across another hurdle and we go back to the same old problem. I wonder whether God will help me. I wonder whether God will help me to pass my exams. And then God patiently helps us to clear those hurdles. And then we come across another hurdle and we repeat the same old problems before God. You know, we should really thank God for being so long-suffering, for being so patient, for being so kind and merciful to us, because we keep on repeating our old sin problems with unbelief numerous times, more times than we dare to remember. But God wants to help us, remember, to write a new chapter, to begin afresh, to grow stronger, to become wiser, to become deeper. But the problem we need to overcome is that of unbelief. And unbelief can take in so many forms. It can take the form of human logic. It can take the form of human reasoning. It can take the form of human experience. It can take the form of, you know, just putting things together as pragmatism, as it were. But faith is much more than all that we can put together. God calls us to a higher plane of living where we learn to walk before him. Can this be done? Can this be attempted? And the answer is yes. You know, as we come to a conclusion of another message for youth worship, can I just challenge you, urge you, seek God in prayer and tell God, "Dear God, I would like to overcome my unbelief. I am so weak because of my unbelief, and I struggle so much with my faith. Seek God humbly in prayer. And pray much for enlightenment and say to God, God, I really need to be much more enlightened than I am. Because I can only see my human thoughts, my human reasoning, and I just can't go beyond what I am thinking and feeling and reasoning. Lord, enlighten me so that I can think your thoughts. I can think thoughts of faith. I can think better than I am able to right now. And dear God, please help me apply my faith. This is the new chapter that I want to write. This is a new walk that I want to commence. This is something that I really, really want to attempt and to do right now. Young people, this is message is for you, for me, for all of us who are listening to this message. Right? Sometimes laughter can mean joy. Sometimes laughter can just simply express unbelief. We express incredulity, but it's in our heart. We don't say it out loud. But God knows what is in our heart. And God wants to help us deal with the problem of the laughter of unbelief. And it will come back again and again. And God will be there to help us again and again and yet again. But let it not be an endless battle of the same thing. If there are battles, fight other battles. Fight the battle of ignorance. Fight the battle of strength and weakness. Fight the battle that of a lack of knowledge. But don't let's fight this unbelief battle 100 times over and we end up no wiser, no better, no stronger. Let's deal with this. And will God help us? God stood by Abraham. Yes, there was a laughter of unbelief. Yes, there were difficulties, obvious. But God did not abandon Abraham. He knew what he was doing when he gave to him a new name. It was an old promise explained in a fresh new way. But it was the same word, the same God. The challenge is for Abraham to find a stronger, newer faith to build on, to live by. And that is what we all want and we all must consider praying to God for. Let's not be defeated by unbelief anymore. Let's ask the Lord to help us to overcome our unbelief in every way possible, every aspect of unbelief. And then we would be able to live up to the reality of God's promise of greater blessings. May our hearts be greatly, greatly challenged. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the joy and the challenge of reading your word, of recognizing ourselves in all the things that we read. And Father, we confess to you our unbelief. Our unbelief is expressed in so many ways. Sometimes it's just hidden inside our heart. And we say all the polite things, but deep down inside, we struggle with unbelief. And we pray, Father, that you will help us to begin a new chapter of faith, a new chapter of understanding, of a new walk with you. We pray that you will help us to look at these things very, very carefully. And we pray that you will help us to overcome all the unbelief that we have deep down inside our heart because of our failure, our disappointment, our ignorance, our lack of strength. Father, we pray that you'll help us to overcome the problem of unbelief. Enable us, Father, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.